Today's shir is Masechta Bava Batra, Daf Kuf Mem Vav. We will begin by Ezra Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Kuf Mem Vav Amar Aleph at the Mishnah towards the top of the Amid. As we've discussed in previous shurim, in the time of Chazal, when a couple got married, the marriage took place in two stages. The Kedushin Erisin was the first stage, and then the Nisuin took place later. And the minig, the custom was that after the Erisin took place, they would send sivloinus, they would send gifts to the kala. And the discussion we begin our shir with is, if those sivloinus were sent, and after the sivloinus were sent, it turns out that they don't get married, they don't end up having nisuin. And the question is, what will now be the halacha with this couple regarding the sivloinus? Must they be returned? So says the Mishnah, Shalach Sivloinus to Beis Chamav. If somebody sends Sivloinus to his father-in-law's home, Shalach Shom Meyim Mana. If the Chassan sent gifts that are worth 100 mana, very large sum of value, Vachasham Sudas Chassan Afilu dinner, and he ate there even the most minimal meal, Eden Nigbin. He has no longer a right to get those Sivloinus back. Lo Yachasham Sudas Chassan, but if he didn't eat there any meal, then Hare Eli Nigbin, he's entitled to get them back. The Rishonim debate, when the Mishnah speaks here that if he ate them, that eating the meal is critical in determining if he, in terms of getting the back the Sivloinus or not, does the Sivloinus have to be eaten? Does the meal that we're speaking about have to be eaten at the time that the Sivloinus are delivered? Or the eating of the meal and the receiving of the sivloinus are not connected to each other? And what the Gemara, what the Mishnah is teaching us is, as long as the chassan ate a meal in the kala's home, that is enough of a reason that they should not be allowed to get back the sivloinus. And the pshat is, because the meal, according to that opinion, is that the meal indicates a certain level of closeness. And once they've achieved that level of closeness, he's not entitled to get the sivloinus back. The other opinion obviously holds that the sivloinus are connected to the meal. And if the meal wasn't eaten at that time, it's not considered as if the sivloinus were delivered. There's another question that the Rishonim debate. If the chassan gave sivloinus before there was a kedushin, before they even had a formal erusin, he already gave sivloinus. And then, after that happened, they got married with erusin, and he ate in the home. Are those considered the same sivloinus as the sivloinus that are discussed in our Mishnah? For an argument can be made that the sivloinus of our Mishnah is only sivloinus that is delivered after the erusin. Sivloinus that are delivered before the erusin are not considered sivloinus. As I said, the Ritva's opinion is then that this is not the same as the sivloinus we're speaking about in our shiur today. The Beis Yosef disagrees. Shalach sivloinus merubim, continues the Mishnah. If he sold a lot of sivloinus that they're very expensive, with the stipulation shiachsu mola beis bala, that these sivloinus are going, she's going to bring into their home as they get married. Hare'elu nigbin. So now, if they don't end up getting married, he divorces her or he dies. So since there was this clear stipulation, says the Mishnah that he could get back those sivloinus. But if it was sivloinus mutim, it was not a large amount of sivloinus, and the understanding was that those sivloinus that he gave her were going to be sivloinus. She's going to use while she's still in a parent's home. Then ein nigbin, he doesn't intend, they're not get given back. So the Rishonim debate how to understand this then in the Mishnah as well. Some Rishonim say that what's critical here is the stipulation. If he made a stipulation that if we don't end up having the suin, you're going to give me back the sivloinus. It doesn't make a difference if it's sivloinus merubim or mu'atim. If on the other hand, It just depends on the stipulation being made. But there are Rishonim that say that the way to understand the Mishnah is as follows. If they are Sivloinus Ma'atim, if they're not a significant amount of Sivloinus, then she always gets to keep them no matter what. If it's Sivloinus Merubim, and it was also clearly indicated that they're being given with the understanding when they get married, she's going to bring it into their home. That's when, if they end up unfortunately not getting married, she has to give them back. But if they're a small amount, then never will she have to give them back. Says the Gemara. When the Mishnah says that he ate, therefore she doesn't have to give back the Sivloinus, I'm a Rava, to which Rava comments, how much does the meal have to be worth? So the Mishnah said dinner. So it says, dafka dinner, if the value of that meal was a dinner, that's when he won't get back the Sivloinus. Ava pox medinner, if he ate, but it wasn't even worth a dinner, loy. Pshita, asked the Gemara, of course, that is dalocha. The Mishnah was very clear. Dinner tanan. The Mishnah spoke about the meal he eats was worth a dinner. Answers the Gemara, madutem hu adinda filo pox medinner, even if he ate less than the value of a dinner. Why did the Mishnah therefore ask the Gemara if that's the case? V'hayda tani dinner. Why did Mishnah speak about a case where he ate a meal that's worth a dinner? Answers the Gemara, urch de milsuk tani. That's usually the minimum amount of a meal. Kamash Milan, that's what Rabbah comes to teach us. Specifically, only if he ate a meal that has a value of a dinner, does he not have a right to collect back the Sivloinus? Otherwise, he does. Ochel tanan. Says the Mishnah again, the Gemara focuses. The Mishnah spoke about him eating. What's going to be the halacha shosamai? What's going to be the halacha if he drank? Hu tanan. The Mishnah spoke about him eating. Shluchay mai. What would be the halacha if it wasn't he who ate, it was his shliach who ate? Shom tanan. The Mishnah spoke about him eating the meal in his father-in-law's, in his in-law's home. What's going to be the halacha shigaloy mai? They sent him the meal. Toshma, says the Gemara, the Amar of Yehuda B'Shmuel, Ma'aseh be'adam echad sheshigel beis chamav, somebody sent to his in-law's home after there was erisin, mea kronos, 100 wagons, shokadayayim v'shkadashemen, that had on it barrels of wine and barrels of oil, v'shokikesev v'shokizov, that had silver and gold vessels, v'shokikli melis, these are clothing that are made out of very expensive wool, and he was so happy that he sent this enormous gift. He was standing at the entrance to his in-law's home, and they brought him out a cup of warm water, and he drank it, and he passed away before there was ever nisuin. This was the halacha that he sent. Sivloinus that are not meant to last, that the understanding was that they would be consumed before the nesu'in, like the barrels of wine, ain nigbin. But the sivloinus that there was every understanding would still be here, for example, the gold and silver vessels, nigbin, the Chassin's family has a right to collect back. Shmamina. So we learn from this halacha, a number of halachas, from this story, a number of halachas that are answers to the question that the Gemara posed. Shmamina, from here we see that filu shasa, just drinking, kicks in the halacha that he's not always entitled to get back the sivloinus. Shmamina, we also see a filu b'chatz medina, that even if it was less than a dinner that he drank, it was just a cup of hot water, it has the same halacha. To which Rav Ashi comments, Man leimeloi deshlechka magnisa de tshavya alfezuza, who says that they didn't grind up into that cup a diamond that was worth an incredible amount of money, and that was what he drank. So the point that you're trying to make, that even if he drank less than a dinner, is not necessarily correct. Shmamina afilu shogruloi, that even they sent him to his home, it's the same halacha. Because, as we just said in reporting that episode, he didn't enter the home of his in-laws, yet it was considered that he ate in their home. Says the Gemara, that's not a rai either. It could well be that if he went home and they sent the meal to his home, sending the meal to his home is not the equivalent of eating the meal in their home. Here, where did he eat whatever he ate? He ate it at the entrance of his own, at the entrance of his in-law's home. Since he ate at the entrance of his in-law's home, that is considered as if he went into the in-law's home. But if he's still in his home, that isn't necessarily the same. Ibai Lusa asked the Gemara, what's going to be the halacha mashi shalish? If we're going to say that in order for these halachas to kick in, do we have to have eaten a meal that's worth a dinner? The question the Gemara now asks, what's going to be the halacha if he ate less than a dinner's meal? The meal that he ate was less than a dinner. Do we let her have her share in sivlonis proportional to the amount value of the meal that he ate? So if he ate a meal of a half a dinner, she'll be entitled to half the sivlonis. Another question. Shvach sivlonis mahu. If the sivlonis went up in value while they were in the in-law's home. In other words, he sent them food and he sent them animals. We'll use that example, which is the example the Rishonim used. He sent them animals. The animals had babies. And they not only ate the animals, but they ate the babies as well. In a circumstance that they have to return the sivlonis. Kiven, the Yisrael of the day, if those babies of those animals were there, Hadre, they would have to go back together with the actual sivlonis. Because what does that indicate? Rishusa Yishavach, it's his asset that went up a value. Adilma Kiven the Avdi Omegnavi. If the sivlonis would have been stolen or lost, the halacha is bayish lumilei, they have to return it as is, and they would only have to return the sivlonis. So therefore, it's an indication, b'shusa d'dash shavach, that this extra value, these extra children, are not considered something that he's entitled to get back. And the way the Rishonim explained this Gemara, the question here is, do we say that what is this a pikadon that the sivlonis that she's holding on to, are they treated like a pikadon, and or they can treated like something that was stolen? And the difference is that if something was stolen and the halacha is v'heshev says gzeila, you have to return what was stolen, but you only have to return it equal to the value it was worth at the time of the geneva. And here too, at the time the sivlonis was given, there were no children to these animals. Or do we say it's a pikadon, and if I leave something for safekeeping by someone else, and they then have multiplied with children, you have to give me back not just the animal I gave you, but the children as well. And the Gemara remains with a teiku. Ask the Gemara by Rava, sivlonis has suyin libolis. If the chassan gave the kala sivlonis that were by the in-law's house, but these are the kind of things that usually go down a value. But here, v'loy balu, they didn't go back till the time that they did not go down a value till they were returned. Mahu, do we say that since they didn't go down in value, that the halacha is that should be given back to the chassan as is? Or so, do we say that since the chassan recognizes that it's to be expected that these sivlonis are going to go down in value, since the chassan recognizes that it's to be expected that they're going down to value, that that's going to happen, he's meichel that amount. Toshma, says the Gemara, we just spoke about the story with the chassan who sent this tremendous amount of gifts to the kala. V'zu alacha hella rabachas arbiel fnei chacham b'usha. V'am rusulaynis avsuin libolis. If they're meant to go down, ein nigban. She'en asuin libolis, but like the wine we said. She'en asuin libolis, but if there's something that don't go down in value, silver, gold, things, nigban. My love, doesn't the Brisa speak about a situation? The Afrika of the loybolu. And still, the halacha is that he doesn't get them back. So we see from here, if it's something meant to go down, then the chassan is meichel. So it's mar aloi. They're speaking about a case, the balu. But had they not gone down, had they not gone down in value, then the halacha would be that he has to get, that he's entitled to get them back. So the Gemara asked twice with a different raya. Tashma, based on what we learned in the Mishnah. The Mishnah taught us Sivlonis Muatim Shetishtamish Mehem. This Sivlon, the Chassan gave the Kal Sivlonis small amount of Sivlonis that she should be used. Vehibi Beis Avia, and she's in her father's home. And now the Chassan decided not to get married. Ein Nigben, that the Chassan is not entitled to get them back. So we see that what is the operating principle we work with? Is it something that was meant that she should be able to use in her parents' home or not? So from here we see that if he gave a Sivloinus Asuin Libolus, the wine, even though she never got to drink the wine, since it's meant to be used and consumed, it's already something that he doesn't get back. Tegma Rava says, Rava, here we're speaking about B'yavav Asifcha, clips and things like that, of which are very insignificant. And since we're thinking about hair clips and things like that, which are so not valuable, he's Michael. And we can't bring a raya to our question from that situation. Somebody sent to his in-laws home yain chadash, new wine, v'shemen chadash, and new, this year's olive oil, the klipishtan, linen clothing, the atzeres, in Shavuos time, even though these are not usually the type of assets that are available that time. Says the Gemara, my Kamashmon. Ibai Seima, Shavuos HaTzisrael Kamashmon. We're learning here how great HaTzisrael is, that even though these are the type of commodities that are not available that time of the year, HaTzisrael does produce them. Ibai Seima, the time that if the Chassan then divorces his Kala, he says that you owe me back, given the circumstances, that she does have to return. He says, you have to return, not only do you have to return wine, but you have to return Yain Chadosh. And do we say it can't be true? How did you give us such wine? The Tanasa Taina, it's a Taina that we have to take into consideration. Says the Gemara, Amar Yudam Arav, Masav Adam Echad, Sha'am Roloi, Ishtoi Titronisi. They told him that his wife is a woman who can't smell. And since she can't smell, that's a mum. And as I saw the Chavis Yor points out, that even though normally when we speak about what is considered a mum, the guide to decide what is a mum is whatever is considered a mum by a kohen that prevents him to do the avoida. Here, by a kala, it's a different set of mumim. And since it's expected that a wife is going to cook in the home, so she has to have a sense of smell. And if a woman doesn't have a sense of smell, he could claim mekach tos. And then he has an interesting discussion. Why would be an halacha where a woman indeed doesn't have a good sense of smell, but she's a wealthy woman and she doesn't do any cooking and baking? Is it still considered a mum? Or is it only a mum when somebody needs to cook and bake? There's interesting discussion in that Chavis Yor regarding a man who got engaged with a woman, maybe there was even Erisin, under the assumption that she comes from a wealthy home. There was no explicit condition made that she is coming from a wealthy home, but he got engaged to her based on that assumption. And then it turns out that it's not true. The father-in-law doesn't have money. And this chassan is looking to get out of the marriage because the Shulchan Aruch discusses that if somebody tries to get out of this type of situation, he has to pay a knas, he has to pay a fine. And he wants to avoid, obviously, paying the fine. So he doesn't say, well, I want out because it turned out that my father-in-law doesn't have money. He says, I want out because I see that she has a large nose. And I consider that a mum. What is the halacha? So says the Chavis Yor, whenever we have such a situation, the way we make a determination on such a situation is by looking, is it abnormal? If it's something that is really very unusual, then he could have a claim. If it's just a little bigger than what everybody else has, that's not considered a mum, that he has a right to claim that it's a mekach tos. So again, he accused his wife that she doesn't have a sense of smell. So he wanted to examine what is her situation, if she can or can't smell. And he left in his pocket a radish. That's the first shot in the Rashbam. And he wanted to see if she how she's going to react. He says, I smell here the smell of a radish. So his wife said, his wife realized that she was being tested. She said, "Man yavaloi miksevis de yirechai. Who's going to give us from the dates of yirecha v'chalnabei, and we'll eat together with the radish?" Because what they used to do was that since the radish is sharp, they used to take a date which is sweet and eat it together. Nafalei, at that point, says the Gemara, interesting development. Nafalei churva mesa. The churva fell on her, and she passed away. And now the husband wants to be married to her because the husband wants to say, she was my legitimate wife. She's my legitimate wife. I am his Yairish. Amr Chachamim, said the Chachamim, you can't have it that way. Your intention was to examine her, if she can smell or not. And if she can't smell, you want to divorce her. Umesa, and indeed that's what happened. She passed away. So the halacha views it as if you're actually not married. And since the halacha views this situation as if you're not married, so therefore you're not entitled to get her Yerusha. So we learned in the Mishnah, Zavloinus Mu'atim Shitsham Ben Beis Avia, if he gave her just a small amount of Zavloinus that she's going to use in her parents' home, the halacha is that if the marriage doesn't get consummated, he's not entitled to get back that sevloinus. Yosef of Ravin Sava Kamei D'Rapapa V'Yosef Kamer Bein Shemesa He or Bein Shemesa Hu, doesn't make a difference if he or she were the one that passed away. Hada Hu, if he is the one that backed the way from the marriage, sevloinus havri, then the sevloinus go back. But if the sevloinus are from the type of foods, machla mishta, that food never is go back. If he ate in the parents' home, in our parents' home, because since he ate there, we can assume that he was meichel on the sevloinus. Hadrabe ihi, but if she's the one that backed out of getting the suin, hadra afila kish de yarka, even if he gave her just a bunch of vegetable, he's not entitled to get back the sevloinus. Arav Hunabre de Yeshua, Shamalanda may bus bazal. When we make this evaluation that she has to pay back, so she can maybe claim, had I known that this I'm gonna have to give it back, I would never have eaten it because I don't have the money, or I'm not interested in spending the money. So we have to give her a deduction. Because she ate it on the assumption that they're going to be married and she won't have to give it back. So the halacha is, how do we make that calculation? At Tilsa, a third less than they were worth. But says the Meiri, that's only if the actual food is no longer here. But if the actual food is here, then the halacha is that she has to give back what she's holding on to. It's only something like food that have different values than the halacha is that if she ate those foods and she legitimately ate those foods, assuming that they're going to get married and she won't have any financial issue, there the halacha is if she did eat it and she has to give back money, the amount that she's going to have to give back is a third. Al Gemara just discussed that this husband and wife, he was checking if she could smell, and therefore if she died, he doesn't inherit her. So says the Rashbam, what do we learn from this Gemara? That if a husband was planning to divorce his wife when she died, the husband, even though we're learning throughout a Masechta, the husband's the one that inherits his wife, here he doesn't inherit her. Says Tosfos, that this is only by an Arusa. Since he didn't have nesuin yet. So the right of a husband to yashin his wife only comes after nesuin. So if that's pshat in the Gemara, says Tosfos, we have no proof what is the halacha by a couple that's not getting along. Because we're talking here about Arusa, and Arusa, he never is the yarish of the wife. The halacha is, says, the halacha actually is, that if there's a couple that's not getting along, but they weren't divorced, and the wife passes away, the husband yashins the wife, which is the opinion of Rush, of the Rush and Tosfos. The Mashal, agreeing such halacha, says, what about another question? You have this couple who are planning to divorce, and then the wife passes away. Will the husband, we're saying now that the husband is the yorish of her assets. What will be an halacha regarding sitting shiva? Says the Mashal, since the rule is that halacha kedivrei mekel ba'ovel, whenever it comes to a question hilchos avelus, we rule leniently, even though the husband is going to be her yorish, he wouldn't have to sit shiva. But says the Chasam Sofer that halacha changed, because the fact that the husband intends to divorce the wife, now that we live in a world post the Cheren Rabbeinu Gershom, the fact that the husband wants to divorce the wife really doesn't have much halachic meaning, because he can't divorce her unless she agrees to accept the divorce. And therefore, just because he planned to divorce her doesn't mean that he has that, and then she dies, that they're considered not married and he would have to sit shiva. Says the Mishnah, one of the halachas that we often discuss is divrei shchimra kiksivim kumsurim domi. That a shchimra, whenever we have a transaction, we need a kinyan. A shchimra, divrei shchimra kiksivim kumsurim domi, and a kinyan is not required. But now the Gemara begins to discuss under what circumstances that halacha. So says the Mishnah, shchimra shekosel kol nechosel lecherim, a shchimra that wrote over all of his assets to someone else, v'shayir kaka kol shu, but he left over some assets that he didn't give away, matanosu kayemus. Because what? Loi shayir kaka kol shu, but let's say he didn't leave over anything, and then he passes, he gets better, Baruch Hashem, a matanosu kayemus. And the way to understand this Mishnah, and it's going to be relevant to the Gemara as well, is why indeed is a kinyan not required? What makes the shchimra unique? And there's two pshatim in the Rishonim. One is because the shchimra is facing death. And since, unfortunately, he's facing death, we assume we want that we don't want to irritate him. Kadesh loy titrif da'atav alov, we're concerned that he shouldn't be adversely affected. So we allow that whatever he does, whatever he says, should be good enough. But there's something that to be understood. Why are we accepting what he says? Because he's assuming that he's not going to make it. And since he's assuming that he's not going to make it, he's giving everything away. And if Baruch Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps, and he does make it, so then we say that what he gave away, he didn't mean to give away if Baruch Hashem he's going to make it. But that only could be accepted if he gave everything away. So then what he did, it's clearly indicative that he meant this only because he's v'shchimra. But if he didn't give everything away, why not? If you're giving everything away because you're assuming that you're not going to be here, so why are you holding on to anything? So if you hold on to something, that is a proof that actually you didn't do it because you're v'shchimra. And since that's a proof that you didn't do it as a v'shchimra, then the halacha is that the regular halachas of kinyanim are akable. The Sefer Kedis Yitzchak says when Yaakov was the one that got the brachas from Yitzchak, and Esav comes in and he says, "Vayhama chi kara shmoi Esav v'yakveni ze pamayin es b'chorasi lokach." He took the b'chayra v'ina ata lokach es b'chasa, and he says, "V'yoyma haloy etzalti." Why did Esav say to Yitzchak, "You must have a bracha left over"? So says the Kedis Yitzchak that Esav assumed that he must have that Yitzchak held on to something because he wasn't a shchimera. And therefore he said, Eloi tzateli bracha, you missed the left over a bracha, and that bracha I'm asking you give to me. Says the Gemara. So the basis of the whole, as we explained, the whole basis of what we're saying here is that we have an umdana that if Shchimera is giving it away, he's giving it away because of his current situation. And if he, Baruch Hashem, gets better, he means that he never meant to give it away. So this is all based on, we said, an umdana. Where in Halacha do we find that we rely on an umdana? So the question that we need to discuss, and I think we've discussed this in previous shiurim, is that there's a rule throughout Shas, Dvarim Shebalev Ein Dvarim. If you didn't say it, it doesn't count. So the question here is, why is this not a concern of Dvarim Shebalev Ein Dvarim? And what the Gemara is really saying to answer that question is that when it's umdan and the muchach, when it's obvious what you mean, then it's not considered Dvarim Shebalev. And this is considered a situation of umdan and the muchach. And that's why, since it's considered a situation of umdan and the muchach, that's why it's not Dvarim Shebalev. Aram Nachman, who follows this opinion? Rav Shimon ben Asi. The Tanya Reish Aluch Benoy Labdinas Yam. His son went overseas. Rishama Shemais Benoy, and he heard that his son Nebuch passed away. Vamav Kazakon Chasulach, and he wrote over all his assets to somebody else because he assumed that he no longer has a son. Vakach Bavanoy, and then his son Baruch Hashem shows up. Matanosa Matana. His matana, what he did is a gift. Rav Shimon asks you, "Ema tanos matana?" We disregard what he did. Why? Shel molei ha-yodea. If he was knew that his son was still alive, lo kaisun. What makes us say that? What makes that say that is the fact that he's a shchimera. Rav Shimon Omer, who is Rav Shesh Omer, who is the opinion of our Tana, Rav Shimon Shazurhi. The Tanam Rishona, hayu Omerim hayoyts bekala. If somebody is being taken out to be executed, I want my wife to have a get, so she shouldn't have a problem with Yibim Chalitza. And as we learned extensively when we learned Masech to Gittin, in order for a get to be valid, the instructions of a get to be valid, you have to say Kisvu V'tenu. Here, all they said was Kisvu. The Tenu is not said, the instruction to give the get, but it doesn't make a difference. Chazor Ayma, Afham Afarish, somebody's going out to sea. By Yotze Mishiori, is going to travel in the desert. In all these cases, if somebody just said Kisvu, even though he didn't say what he was really supposed to say, we assume that that's what he meant, given the circumstances. We're concerned Shaloi to Tarif Datai, and that's why we accept what he said. Ask the Gemara Rav Nachman, my Tamalai Mukum like Rav Shimon Shazuri. Why didn't Rav Nachman use Rav Shimon Shazuri? Answers the Gemara, there's no proof, because he did say something there. Because he said Kisvu. But if he said nothing, like the Shchimera, who didn't speak about a Kenyan at all, maybe it would be inadequate. Rav Sheshis asked the Gemara, my Tamalai Mukum like Rav Shimon Menasya. Says the Gemara, there are different levels of Umdana. And an Umdana, the Muchach, where somebody is giving away all of his inheritance. Who gives away all of his inheritance? The only person that gives away all of his inheritance is somebody who doesn't have, who thinks his son is dead. And therefore, that's called a umdan and a muchach. And we can't bring a raya from a situation of a umdan and a muchach to a case where it's not umdan and a muchach. And the shemira may not be the same level of umdan to learn there. The Rishayim speak about, when we speak about Ayotze Bishyoro, just saying Kisvu is enough, how much of a trip does he have to be taking? Some Rishayim, the Baal Itta says, any trip is considered dangerous. Other Rishayim say, it's only if he's traveling in the desert. The desert is considered particularly dangerous. Moreover, the Beis Yosef says it has to be the desert and he's traveling far away. Here the Gemara differentiated between Umdan and the Muchach, like the case where he thought that his son was no longer alive, versus the case of a Shchimera. And what's the difference? So the Rishonim explain when we speak about people who are ill, most people who are ill get better. And therefore, in the case of a person who's ill, we say that it's a umdan, it's not an umdan in the muchach. But when somebody thinks is that his son is dead, that's an umdan in the muchach. The Shas Chuvas Lechem Raf discusses a case that he was told that his son died, and he wrote all of the assets over to another son. Says the Gemara that it says that Shas Chuvas Lechem Raf, even though one can make an argument that he wrote those assets to that son only because he thought the other son was dead, says the Lechem Rav, only if, as the Gemara said, he wrote it la'acher, then the halacha is that he, if that son shows up. But if he wrote it to another son, then the son that shows up doesn't have a claim. The Shas Chuvas Marem Meblin says, our Gemara speaks about a case where he thought his son is dead. He had only one son, and he thought that that one son died, and then the son shows up. What happens if that son is indeed dead, and that's why he wrote the asset to somebody else, but then he didn't expect this, and the son, he ends up having another child? What would be the halacha then? He wants to suggest that under those circumstances is the same as our Gemara, because had he known that he'll still, Baruch Hashem, have a child, he never would have given them away. Our Gemara keeps on differentiating the beginning of our shir when we speak about savloinus, if the chassin ate in the house of the kala or not. So I saw that the Sefer Panine Kedem says that Eliezer was said when they started, as they were trying to complete the shidduch between Yitzchak and Rivka, Eliezer said, "Lo oichel adam dibarti, I'm not going to eat." Why was so Eliezer so concerned? Because Eliezer knew, as our Gemara has been teaching us, that once the chassan eats in the home of the kala, it changes the entire situation, and then he may be held. Then he may have to leave the savloinus. Eliezer had given Rivka a decent amount of gifts, but he only gave her the gifts under the assumption and under the supposition that they're going to get married. If they weren't going to get married, he had no intention of leaving those gifts there. To make sure that they wouldn't have a claim on the gifts, he made sure, Lo oichel, I'm not going to eat Adam Dibarti until I know that this shidduch is truly happening.